God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. We also know that God has called his church through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and he has given us three commands that sum up all the scripture, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world. And that is what we do here at the Heart of Christ Church. Every day of our lives is another day to learn how to love God, love others, and then go with that very knowledge and wisdom and the power that he has given each and every one of us to be the church of Jesus Christ. As we are looking at our lives and walking this time together, I welcome each and every one of you that's here in the pews, those of you who are visiting with us on the internet, whether you're watching live or you're catching this pre-recorded, you are here for a reason. God has a message that he would like you to hear. I do not put these things together. Yes, I do physically, but the Lord brings them to me. You need to understand that. I pray you all understand that. Pastor works in the gift that he has given me. I was called to be a pastor. I wasn't born one. Can I get an amen, church?
Amen.
Ask my wife. She knows me the longest. Thank you, Ruth. We all caught that. And I'll accept it. Because we are less than perfect. Can I get an amen on that? We are less than perfect. And when we look at our lives, many of us go through some tough stuff, don't we? There are things in our life, and it's like, you know, why has this happened to me? Oh, you know, where's God in all of this? And we're looking at this. Well, I'm walking with him, and he's not doing anything. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you think you're alone, let me take you back to the beginning. Because that's where it all started. How do you think Adam felt after he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And then he heard God in the garden. He was probably wondering at that point in time, well, why didn't he stop me? Because God has given us free will. And we need to understand, you are set apart. You're not set aside. When those things come at us of life, how many of us feel like, where's God? He's set me aside. He's forgotten me. He's abandoned me. He's left me. And what did I do to deserve this? Well, I can tell you it's called sin. Okay? But you need to hear me when I say you have been set apart. If you have received Jesus Christ in your life, you have been set apart. There are some parameters that you need to understand, that I need to understand, that we need to grasp. And God has laid them out for us. But the thing of it is, we want a Santa Claus instead of a good God. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, my wish list was 10 feet long. What did I get? A pair of pants, a pair of socks, a bag of underwear, and a shirt if I was lucky. That was my Christmas, and I was grateful, but that didn't keep me from wanting a whole arm's length of stuff, did it? How many of you are there now, and you're not children anymore? Well, yes, you are. We are still children. Aren't we called his children? Well, let's realize that's what we act like, little kids, spoiled, rotten little kids. What a pastor. Yeah. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Turn in your Bible to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3. I think it's funny because people look at me and they say, oh, I can't believe he said that to those people. I didn't. He does. I'm just repeating his stuff because he knows who we are, doesn't he? He knows who I am. And he says, this is you. Listen to me. And I will show you the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus Christ. From the third chapter of the book of Proverbs, we're going to begin in verse 1 and go to 6. From verse 1, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, and let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Can I get an amen on the word of God? When I think about these words, when I hear what he is telling us there, I have to ask myself, am I believing this and am I receiving this? Which means I have to walk in this. So many of us are Christians and we see bad things happening in our lives and we say, oh, you know, God's abandoned me. God has forgotten me. God's gone astray on me. What did I do? Oh, Lord, you got to be here to help me. And after a couple of days of it, we're still going back at him. And then we start to get angry. Then we start to get bitter. Then we start to get jealous about other people that, well, God's working in their life all the time. I think it's funny. Do you think this is an old argument? Turn in your Bibles. I want you to go to Exodus 14. Remember, I told you I was going to take you back. Exodus chapter 14. It amazes me how the Lord prepares me for this stuff. I know a lot of you folks think, oh, he's preaching this because of what happened to me this week. No, he ain't. I had this long before this past week. I told Miss Susan the other week, I have 3 weeks that are done, and I'm working on weeks 5, 6, and 7, okay? And it's amazing because this was done. So what you're going through, he knew about it back then. And he's got a word for you. Exodus chapter 14, beginning in verse 10. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Well, at least they got something right. They cried out to the Lord. But then they said to Moses, "It is because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians,' for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he has accomplished for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." When we look at that word, I love it because in other translations, it says to be still and see the hand of God. I love that. What does it mean to be still and see the hand of God? What does Moses mean here when he says that the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent? We need to understand the precept that's happening here. These people, they got frightened, didn't they? They saw the army coming. They saw the turmoil coming. They saw the stuff coming at each and every one of them. It was called Egypt. It meant death. It meant hurt. So they cried out to the Lord. They got one thing right. They cried out to the Lord. But then what did they do? So number one, they feared. Number two, they got angry with Moses and they started speaking out at him. Why did they yell at Moses? Because they were afraid. That's called a feeling. How many of us have feelings? And we run everything by feelings, right? We run everything by feelings. I want you to think about these people. Are they any different than us? No, they are not any different than us. Because we think, we feel, and we act. And that's what these people did. They thought, they felt, and they acted. All the things that you and I can control, they got wrong. All the things that you and I can control, they allowed to control them, when they should have turned to the Lord and simply been silent, been still, trusting in Him, waiting upon Him, doing what He would ask them to do. What did He tell them to do? He told them to camp out here. Well, they were camping out there at the side of the sea. Do you trust Him? Do you think He's led you to where you are just to abandon you and to forsake you and to let you go? No. God loves you, and you have been set apart. You have been brought near unto Him. Now you are His responsibility. But you have to trust Him. And I'm going to tell you, there are going to be times in life when you're going to say, this is not something I can trust you with, because you just don't talk to me when it's going through. Well, gee, do you think God doesn't know that you're not talking to Him? He never hears anything we say, does He? He doesn't know anything we feel, does He? It amazes me. I do it, and I'm the preacher. What is wrong with me, O wicked man that I am? It is the sin that is in me. It is the deception of the evil one. When they were in the garden, like I said, this goes all the way back. Did God really say? Satan comes at us to make us doubt, to make us angry, to make us fearful. Well, it was that Moses guy. He brought us out here. No, it wasn't. God was using Moses to get them to where they needed to be. You realize God wanted them where they were because He wanted to show them what He was going to do. God wants you where you are in the midst of your pain right now because He wants to show you something. He wants to teach you something. We live in a world that is controlled by other things, but ultimately, He has total control over it all. His ways, His plans are higher than our ways, and we will never understand them until we're with Him in glory, and then we'll have eternity to figure that all out, because we're not going to get it all figured out the day we're there. Can I get an amen? But while we are going through this life, He wants us to be still. He wants us to be silent. That means stop acting on your stuff. You're screwed up. I'm screwed up. The devil in my life makes me get angry. The devil in my life makes me fearful. The devil in my life makes me see the things that are around me and become envious and jealous and all those things. We need to remember, we have been set apart. God is there for us, but are we going to be still? Are we going to be silent and wait on Him? To be there relying on Him. And in the face of all this stuff, throw up our arms. We sang the song, empty-handed, I come to you. Do you realize what that means? It doesn't mean anything about the offering. It means, what does worship look like? Empty-handed, I come to you. I was proud to see several of you during that song, and especially the next one, that we have an awesome God raising your hands, because empty-handed you were coming to Him. That's called worship. How much more so do you think it would have been for the Israelites if standing on that beach and there's Pharaoh and he's coming to kill them, and they'd all stood there and just started singing, Kumbaya. I mean, something so simple and silly, okay? Kumbaya. Could you imagine that? Pharaoh would have freaked. The same outcome would have happened. And they wouldn't have to have gone through all that turmoil in their being. But God's going to use the turmoil in you to teach you who He is. He's going to do that to teach me who He is. Because we have been set apart. We have not been set aside. God has not forsaken us. God has not forgotten us. God is right there waiting for us to do and be all that He wants us to do and be. That means be still, trust Him, and walk with Him. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know how hard it is. Don't tell me I don't know how hard it is. I may not be going through the very thing you're going through right now, but you want to wear my junk? I'm going to tell you right now, you don't want to wear my junk. Everybody else's junk looks easy until it becomes your own. Then all of a sudden you realize just how hard junk is. I don't care what we want to classify it as. We have been set apart. We need to realize God wants to use these things in our lives to teach others and to show others His grace, His compassion, His love, His power, and His provision. You know, I can remember when God spoke those things to me. I was in the woods, and the Lord had called me to ministry in the woods. Okay? I received my calling actually at my home. But when I got in the woods, I was out hunting one day, and the Lord solidified all things with me. It's amazing how God works, because He told me He was going to be my provision. He was going to be my power. He was going to be my strength. I mean, He went through all this stuff. For 15 minutes, He told me who He was going to be in my life. And ever since that day, I've tried to be all those things. Ask me how it's working out for it. Yeah, thank you, David. Because when I try to do those things, it leads to despair. But when I trust unto Him, He delivers me from evil. And He brings me into green pastures. And He leadeth me beside quiet waters and restores my soul. Boy, can you see the psalm a little differently now? It's amazing because we have been set apart. He wants to use our lives as an unfolding of all the good and grace that He can be. So let's stop turning it into something it's not meant to be. And let us walk as one who has been set apart, calling upon the Lord and knowing that He is God. Turn back to our scripture in Proverbs, because I'm not done with this yet. From Proverbs, we're going to move on from verse 6 into 7 through 12. Because God wants to teach us even more about Himself and about this life that we're all supposed to have and how we can do it. He says to us from verse 7, "Do not be wise in your own eyes." Oh my goodness, could I stop there and preach for the next year? But I won't. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. You know, I think it's funny. I have people that ask me all the time, you know, they'll say, "Well, Pastor, you know, I know we're supposed to tithe, but do I tithe my gross or do I tithe my net?" Well, that's a dumb question. Which did God give you, the gross or the net? Both. You give to Him first, not after the government, first. And folks, we know there we're talking about money, right? No, we're not. God's talking about all that you are, your first fruits. Everything that you are, God's to get first honor. God is to get first honor. So that means in your fear, where does the first 10% of your fear go? It better go to God, because if you give Him 10%, He'll take care of the other 90. How about your anger? Where's your anger supposed to go? Send it His way. Give Him 10%. He'll take care of the 90. Come on, people. Are we getting the precepts here? I'm telling you, I think it's amazing, because as a Christian, I realize I have been living upside down, Miss Susan. I've been doing it all backwards, sideways, and wrong in every sense. Because I've never given God my fear. I've never given God my doubt. I've never given God my anger. You mean I can shake my fist at God? Yes. You think He can't handle it? He's standing up there smiling, saying, "Yes, you're talking to me. You're working it out with fear and trembling." And that's what He wants. because we have been set apart. We actually have the ability to enter into that relationship and talk to him. How many of you argued with your mom and dad? Come on now. Oh, no, I never said anything. You did behind their back. Don't tell me you didn't. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't brave enough to argue with my mother to her face. But boy, behind closed doors, whew, I could tell her a thing or two. The awesome thing is God is behind those closed doors. Take it to him. You know, it says in the scriptures we take everything in prayer, right? Do you realize your anger can be prayer if it's directed to him? Prayer is an attitude of being. It's not a position. It's an attitude of being. And that means being one with him, being in communication with him, being in his presence. And God wants us to see this. You know, he says, you know, in all your ways acknowledge him. From verse 6. In all your ways, in your fear, in your doubt, in your struggles, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And then it goes in. I just spoke these things. You know, I hope you folks put it together. You know, he says, you know, bring in the tithe, okay? Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce. You know, do we read this and see what he's saying, or do we read this and see what we want? I am so amazed at how many of us, you know, we've never been taught to do that, Pastor. I'm teaching you now because the Lord's been teaching me. For years, he's been teaching me. And this is where I have to take you. He says, son, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you right now. You know, one of the things I hated was when I would get a spanking. How many of you love getting a spanking at home? Yeah, no, I didn't think I'd see any hands going up. But I'm telling you right now, you don't understand it until you become a parent. How many of us want to spank our children? How many of us want to discipline our children? You know, I have people out there watching us right now on the internet. I hope nobody in here. They're saying, oh my gosh, he's saying it's okay to spank a child. Yes. God gave them a reset button. It's called their derriere. And you don't abuse it, but you use it. We got to get back. One brother said to me this morning about being normal. I said, no, I ain't normal. How many people can say I ain't normal? I'd like to hear that. Thank you for that little added extra. She said, I ain't normal at all. Oh, my. It's funny because that's where we are. But what does God speak to us? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Going to be in chapter 1. These are just going to be short little ones here because it's like one verse or two verses. But the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9. Book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9. Because these are the things that I want us to hear God speaking to us, that we are set apart. We are not set aside. You're not going through these things for no reason. You're going through these things because you are God's chosen. And he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. But he's not Santa Claus. He's not going to give you what you want when you want it. He's going to give it to you when it's right. When it gets to that point where it's going to do its most magnificent work in your life and the life of all of those around you. Because you are not set aside. You have been set apart. Do you realize how many people are looking at us as Christians? How many people are looking at our lives and wondering, are these people real? I'm going to tell you right now, live it in front of everybody. Let them see your hurt. Let them see your struggle. And then tell them who gets the glory for all the things you're going through. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the devil has shut us down. We don't want anybody to know what we're going through. Oh, I can't say anything to these people. Oh, you know, they're not going to stand. They're going to call me names. They're going to do it. Man, you can do unto me anything you want because you cannot destroy me. Only God can destroy me. He said, we are not to fear man, but to fear God who can destroy both body and soul. But nobody on this earth will I fear. I will live my life in front of the Lord because he has commanded me, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Oh my goodness. Now, does that mean you're going to get it right and I'm going to get it right and we're going to be happy about everything that comes at us? No, we're all human. We're all going to worry. We're all going to have trouble. We're all going to fear. We're all going to fret. But where are you going to take it? Right there. And then stop acting like he hasn't heard you. See, this is one of the things that makes us fail. It's because we don't see it now. It's my money and I want it now. God says, would you wait on me and be still? Deliverance is coming. Deliverance is coming. How many days did it rain for Noah? Miss Susan, do you remember? 40 days, 40 days. What do you think would have happened if Noah would have said, oh, this is never going to stop, and he pulled the plug out of the bottom of the boat on day 40? Day 41 never would have come, and guess what happened on day 41? The rainbow's in the sky. How many years did the Israelites walk around the desert? 40 years they walked around the desert. Is God ever going to deliver us? Is God ever going to bring us into the right? What would have happened if they'd all just quit on year 40 and just said, this is the promised land right where we are. It doesn't get any better than this. They'd have never entered into the promised land. Year 41 never would have happened. How about for us? Let's think about that. Jesus died. For 40 days, he was here. What would have happened if he wouldn't have returned to the Father on day 41? We wouldn't have the Holy Spirit, would we? We wouldn't have the power to be the church of Jesus Christ. You see, one of the problems is, people, you and I want it all now. We're not willing to wait to day 41. We'll give up on day 2. What about the rest of them? Isn't there a work in those days that has to take place? Remember, in 40 years, God trained up a whole people. In 40 days, God trained all of the church before he went to heaven so that they could go out and preach the gospel. Your deliverance is coming. Your time is coming. Don't stop. Be courageous. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God will be with you. Isaiah 41 and 10. Isaiah 41 and 10. Isaiah 41 and 10. From verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious. Look about you, for I am God. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God is simply waiting for us to wait on him. If you're going to act, he's going to wait. How many more days are you going to keep acting before you wait? And be still. Trust in him. Walk with him. Call upon him. And wait. Be still. And he will bring it to pass. Deuteronomy 31:8. Deuteronomy 31:8. Verse 8. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Where does it say God is? I asked you a question. Where does it say God is?
With you, with me.
I love this. The Lord is the one who goes where?
Ahead of you.
He says, I go ahead of you, and I will be with you. Gee, do you think he's already there, seeing what you're getting into? That was my point. I wanted you to let that sink in for just a moment or two. God's already there. He's waiting on you to catch up. What do you mean he's not here with you? What do you mean, you know, he's forsaken you? No, he hasn't. He's there waiting on you. He's already past where you are to where you're going to be. But while he's at where you're going to be, guess where he also is? Where you are. Can we explain that? Yes. He's God, I'm not. You and I need to understand, God's got us covered. Last one here for this section, 34, Psalm. Psalm 34. Verses 17 and 18. My pages are sticking. Verses 17 and 18. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. When you and I are going through this stuff, is that not what he's talking about? Because we are crushed in spirit. We're looking for the Lord. We're wondering where he is. He's right there. We need to understand these are the things you're going to feel when you are at these places. You are normal. This is normal. Wow. I think it's the first time in my life I can say I'm normal. Do not think, oh, well, you got to be some type of super Christian because these things don't bother you. Come on, really? I just know where to turn. I know he's already here. I know he's already been through this. I trust him for where he's going to lead me. Does that mean that I'm not going to fear? No, it does not. But it means I don't have to let that fear overtake me. I can trust him in where he's going to lead us. In the fact that he knows that I'm going to probably do this again because I'm a broken person, but he's going to pick me up, dust me off, and send me on my way again. Because next time, instead of being 2 hours between the times I do it, it may be four, and then six, and then eight, and then days, and then weeks, and then months, and then years. Because it's called progressive sanctification. We don't all get it all the time at once. God does have those that he sets apart in a certain way where they receive it all now, once and done. Who was one of those people? Does anybody know who I'm talking about? He was an apostle, and his name, there you go, the Apostle Paul. But what did Paul have to go through to receive it? And what did Paul, and Paul knew what he was going into. Paul knew his death before he ever started his journey in Christ. How many of you realize that? He showed Paul everything he was going to suffer. And Paul went willingly. How many of us, if God showed us all the stuff we're going to go through, would be willing to go through it? Oh, that's too tough. I'm not doing that. You know, that's what this pastor said years ago. I was 18 years old when I gave my life to the Lord. I don't know how many of you know this. Some of you know my full testimony. I was 18 years old. He saved me from suicide. 3 months after I turned 18, 3 months after I received salvation when I turned 18, excuse me, I got to say my words correctly, the Lord showed me a vision of the end times. So I know what the end times look like. He showed me that a long time ago, and then he reiterated. He showed it to me again when he called me into ministry, and I was getting it right. Showed me the exact same vision. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be horrible. We won't be here to see what I saw. I can tell you that right now. We will not be here to see what I saw, and I praise the Lord for it. But what he showed me scared me so much that I said, nope, I can't do that. Can't do that. And I ran away from the Lord because I didn't understand. So the Lord had to mature me from the age of 18 to the age of 32. You realize that's 30 years ago now. It's 30 years ago when the Lord got me to that right place. That's, folks, half of my life, I walked without him. Half of my life, I didn't understand. Which half do I want to remember? Which half do I want to keep? Both of them. Because what happened before I got right has led me to where I am and given me the confidence to speak the things I speak to you today. Because if I can't speak in confidence, I shouldn't speak at all. Can I get an amen, church? And this is the God that I know. This is the God I love. This is the God I trust. Do I get it right every day? Do I not get angry? Do I not fear? Do I think he's forsaken me or forgotten me or whatever? Yes, I go through those things. But when I do? I get down on my knees and I lift my spirit up. And guess what he does? He doesn't push it down. He catches it and takes it to the highest heights. And he says, I'm right here, son. I love you. Thank you. Thank you for remembering who you are and whose you are. Thank you. God says this stuff to me. Thank you for knowing I'm God. And now watch what I'm going to do. Now, it's going to take a little time. You're going to go through this for a period, but you'll be all right. You know, you're going to be better when you come out the other side. And I can tell you right now, I am better coming out the other side. And so too will you. That's the God who loves us. Now, does that mean the things that we go through don't hurt us, that we don't have bad memories, that, you know, all this other stuff, it all gets washed away? No. No, that is part of our experience, people. You can't get rid of any of that, because if you got rid of any of that, you wouldn't remember where you are or why. All those things are for a reason, and that reason's for us. That reason is for us. That is the confidence that we have that I know that I know that I know that Jesus is my God. And that I can proclaim this to the nations because that is the truth. Turn back. to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. We're going to do our last piece of this proverb that we're going to do. Proverbs 3, and we are going to do 13 through 20. 13 through 20. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. When we look at where the Lord has taken us, where the Lord is bringing us, he tells us to embrace wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because then by it we will gain understanding. That's what he just told us. And in understanding, what will we find? Peace. And what is that peace? That God is with us and that God is for us. For we have been set apart. We have not been set aside. Our world clamors after everything and anything that may satisfy, because they can't find him. We have found him. Therefore, we hunger and thirst no more. Even though we're in turmoil over some of these things that God allows us to come into, they are for our betterment, for our eternal state, to get us to that place where we trust him emphatically. How many of you are there? Thank you for being honest. Because I'll guarantee, yeah, there's levels of it. Can I get an amen on that? But how many of you are there that we trust him so complicitly, nothing bothers us? Ask my wife. She'll tell you. Last night she said to me, Russell said, goodbye, I love you, Mom. And Lynn says to Russell, I love you too, sweetie, but I don't know about your father right now. That's because I got smart with her, Miss Susan. Yeah, I shouldn't do that, you know. She's such a sweetie. But after 40 years, she still sticks around. And I'll guarantee you I'm sticking around in the Lord, because he's even far better. That's my whole point. As dumb as I can be, that lady still loves me. And I'm telling you, that's a miracle. But how much more so the miracle that the dumb stuff we do, and God loves us. Loves us so much he sent his son to die on the cross for each and every one of us. And he says, trust me. And from the cross, he spread out his hands and said, what? It is finished. Brothers and sisters, we're going to go through some stuff, but we have been set apart unto the glory, not set aside unto destruction. We will see the glory and the grace of God. And I want to remind you of this scripture. I'm just going to speak it. I don't need you to turn there today. Because if you are walking in Jesus Christ, there's a word that he wants you to know. In all the stuff that you're going to go through, in everything, no matter where you are, God says this to you, and it's from Philippians 1 and 4. You can write that down if you're taking notes. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. God is not going to start something in you and not finish it. How many of us are the great procrastinator? We get it started, but it seems like it never gets finished. Yeah, I like that, Miss Dottie. She's raising her husband's hand. Uh, But God is not the great procrastinator. He will bring it to completion in Christ Jesus, and that is our guarantee. Can I get an amen from the church?
Amen.
Because God knows, God sees, and God is there. Let us trust him. Let us walk with him. Let us give him the tithe. Give him 10% of all the stuff, and he'll take care of the 90. I know you're not going to give it all up. Just give him a little bit of it, and he'll take care of what you think you have to carry. That's his promise, his word, not mine. Because you have been set apart. You have been set apart unto glory, not set aside unto destruction. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this word. We thank you that you know right where we are. And Lord, you know where we're going to be because you're already there. You're in front of us. You're ahead of us. You're waiting for us to catch up. So Lord God, I just pray that you would strengthen each and every one of us to go through and to see and know that you are God and you are good. For we serve an awesome God. And you are a good and gracious King. And we come to you as sheep, and we say to you, as Miss Susan led us this day, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us unto thy presence in Christ Jesus. And the church says,
amen.
And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.